This is Bill and Margaret Munhausen with another episode of What Makes Sense. And this time we're going to do something a little different. We're going to be talking about something that's all in the news right now, and because it's timely, so we thought we would get it out there because, well, it's something that has a lot of people kind of all abuzz. It's about the solar eclipse that's going to happen on April 8th. And I'll give you a little bit of an overview about it. Somebody noticed that this particular eclipse, the line of totality, which is where the eclipse is going to be total in the United States, it runs basically from the southern border up through the northern border, kind of in a slight diagonal from Texas up through Maine. And the line of totality happens to go through or very near all of the cities in America named Nineveh, which is very interesting. And it starts in a city called Jonah, Texas. So you have all of these kind of biblical symbols, and some prophetic people noticed this, and they thought, huh, I wonder what you make of such a thing. So starting down in Jonah, Texas, totality occurs in Jonah, Texas at around 1:37 p.m., and then it that moving up the line of totality, you get to Nineveh, Texas at 1:42 p.m. And in Nineveh, Texas, it's only 99%. It's not quite 100% totality. And the line of totality moves up through Arkansas, through a little bit of Missouri. It hits a place called Little Egypt in Illinois, near the town of Nineveh in Illinois. And then it moves on up to Nineveh, Indiana at 3:07 p.m., Nineveh, Ohio, a little bit after that, and then it bypasses Nineveh, Pennsylvania, and Nineveh, New York, all the way up to Nineveh, Nova Scotia. So I did a little checking, and I thought, is it just a coincidence? Maybe there are lots of cities in America called Nineveh. Could be a popular name. And it turns out that these are all of the Ninevehs in the United States. There is one other Nineveh that's not mentioned. It's Nineveh, Virginia, but it's not actually a city. It's just an unincorporated area. Not sure why it's called Nineveh at all, but there's no town there. So all of the cities in the U.S. are right along this line of totality. And you'll find there's a kind of a debunker on the internet who claims that this is just all bogus. He says there's only that the solar eclipse only goes through two Ninevehs. But he's kind of quibbling. It's kind of like that Nineveh, Texas, where it's only 99% instead of 100%. The truth is that the whole line is kind of a band of totality that runs through or very close to all of the Ninevehs. So it could be a coincidence. It could be an important prophetic idea. The prophets claim that it is something we ought to look at. And they mention way back in the book of Genesis, Genesis 1:14 says the sun, moon, and stars were put in the sky for signs and seasons. Seasons in that passage is the Hebrew word moedim, which is God's appointed times, and signs are omens or warnings. There are also lots of earthquakes associated with eclipses, and that actually makes sense from a physical science point of view. If you think about the ocean tides, they're caused by the gravitational attraction of the moon as it goes around the Earth, and also the sun as the Earth rotates, because the sun has a lot of gravitational attraction and the moon has a lot of gravitational attraction. And if you put the moon and the sun on the same side of the Earth, they double the attraction. So there is a likelihood of higher than normal tides. And the tides are a function of water being displaced by gravity, but actually the entire crust of the Earth is pulled during those tidal events. So that could result in earthquakes wherever there are fault lines. And that seems to be historically true. Revelation 6:12 says, I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red. Again, you have this association of earthquakes and eclipses. And it's something that is repeated several times in biblical prophecy. It kind of caused these people to look back at the at other eclipses, and the most recent one was the 2017 eclipse.
That was very special also in that it went through all of these cities with the name of Salem, which is a type of saying Jerusalem. And so if you take the two lines of these completely separate solar eclipses that are crossing the United States, they cross over an area in Illinois that is considered Little Egypt. And they have some horrific names for their lakes, like Devil's Lake and Hell's Lake. And finding that this would cross over right in that area, pull out your atlases and look and see that. My husband and I actually have driven through that area on our way down to Tennessee and stuff from Missouri, and mm-hmm. thought it was very strange, but hadn't put anything in connection. Like right now, God is pointing it out and wanting us to see what's going on there. It's kind of a very, very important thing that Jonah, when God sent him to talk to Nineveh, was a very evil, evil empire, and in a lot of sin. And so Jonah was supposed to go and warn them of God's judgment, and he didn't want to, so he tried to flee God's command. But God, obviously, most of you have heard the story of he was running away on a ship, and then the ship was in just a terrible, terrible storm, and everybody thought they were going to die. And finally, Jonah said, "It's all my fault," you know, and said, "You need to throw me off the boat." And so the sailors did that, and he was swallowed by a great fish and stayed in the fish for 3 days and three nights, and then was thrown up on the beach on the way to Nineveh. So he decided to obey at that point. And I think maybe it's a sign for America right now. I feel like our country has gone into a real anti-moral, which is anti-God. Yeah. it's very dark that we can see a change, especially us elder ones, that Bill and I are in our retirement age. And I mean, we've lived through the time when the country was so safe and just everybody was helping one another. You could leave your keys in your car. You didn't have to lock your house up. Just different things that were just, we played outside in the dark late at night and, you know, came back home.
Yeah, young people don't believe that. They think it's just some kind of a thing we made up about the good old days, but the good old days really were good. It's kind of a contradiction in America. You could say there was a time when there was more racism, but it wasn't racial unrest as it is today. It wasn't a constant accusation of racism. Racism existed, and we overcame it. And we had kind of put it all to bed until the last 10 or 15 years, when mostly people on the political left wanted to revisit this whole idea of racism and turn it into something that had almost gone away. Getting back to the intersection of these two lines of totality, though, it is kind of like an X marks the spot. It marks the spot in Little Egypt, and it's also an area of very dangerous earthquake activity. What is that place called again? What is the fault line called that's in Missouri?
Oh, for the earthquake, it's...
Yeah, what is that?
Oh, I know it.
It's
so
right
well.
On the tip of our tongue. I'm tempted to look on the internet.
Madrid Fault.
Yeah, the new Madrid Fault. The new Madrid Fault line is right in southeast Missouri, heading into Illinois and down into kind of where Arkansas and Tennessee, Illinois and Missouri meet. And that's right where X marks the spot of these two lines of totality. So if earthquakes come along with eclipses, it's kind of scary to think about it, that this eclipse has its greatest area of totality and therefore gravitational fault force right over the New Madrid fault line.
Yeah, and they were talking about that since we've moved to Missouri in 94, it's always been a possibility that they were concerned about whether or not the New Madrid would have a big earthquake coming through it.
Yeah, we're kind of fascinated by possible terrible things happening. So along with the prophecy about the solar eclipses, at least one prophet kind of went on a little bit of a tangent looking at a phenomenon called blood moon tetrads. And blood moon tetrads, I had to look up what they are. But what they are four, that's where the tetrad comes from, four consecutive eclipse seasons that have a total eclipse in them. And there have only been eight of these blood moon tetrads since the time of Jesus. So they're kind of notable events. And in biblical prophecy, eclipses of the moon seem to be signs for the nation of Israel. And eclipses of the sun seem to be signs for the world at large, the Gentile world, I guess you could call it. So these blood moon tetrads, there have been eight of them since Jesus' time. They kind of mark the spot of certain big events. In 162 AD, there was a Roman war with the Parthians. In 795 AD, there was a war with the Saxons. In 1492 AD, something that comes closer to home, is when Columbus sailed to America. And what a lot of people don't realize is much of his crew were Jewish. And the reason they were Jewish is they wanted to escape Spain because Spain had started kind of its own little war on the Jews. What did they call that thing where they were persecuting the Jews back in around that time? The Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah.
And they were rounding up Jewish people and killing them, kind of like what the Nazis did later on in World War II. So there was this kind of situation where Columbus needed a crew to sail off the edge of the earth. And who was willing to go off the end of the edge of the earth but the Jewish people who were trying to escape the Inquisition? And about 600 years later, we come to 1948, and that's when Israel becomes a nation. And a little bit after that, 1967, we have the Six-Day War. And kind of the interesting thing that will happen in the near future is in the years 2032 to 2033, about 7 or 8 years from now, will be the next blood moon tetrad. And so the prophets are looking at that and they're saying, well, what if that next tetrad, which just happens to be the anniversary of Christ's resurrection, marks the time when Jesus will return? So even though nobody knows the day and the hour and the year of when Jesus will return, that seems to be kind of a clue because it still leaves room for 7 years of tribulation before that 2032-2033 time. All of these things the Christian prophets are looking at, modern-day prophets, and they're saying, I wonder if all of these signs in the heavens are pointing to something. And it isn't anything we believe is conclusive, but it is something that we'd hate not to mention if something comes to pass on that date, April 8th. So it's worthwhile for the whole world, the whole nation, to be looking at it and seeing if there's something that comes of it. What we're going to do is the next time my wife and I get together, we'll talk about yet another topic, but we'll revisit this one and see how it turned out, what actually happened on April 8th, if anything. So,
and make sure, though, if you're going to go out to watch it and you live in the area where it's passing through, to wear the proper glasses, because you can really go blind. I mean, you have to have the certified eyeglasses to go and watch the solar eclipse.
Yeah, personally, I don't know if I'd trust the ones you buy at the Walmart or something, because they come from China. I don't think the Chinese are necessarily on our side. So look for something that's really really recommended in a higher class kind of store. Maybe one of your science friends might have a source for them. I guess the other thing to keep in mind is you might be tempted to travel to a place where you get 100%. I think we're around, in our area, we're going to see about 97% of totality. And people online are saying that when you get to 100%, it's really night and day more dramatic than even 97 or 98%. But there's probably going to be a lot of traffic going to those places, so you kind of weigh your options. I don't know, we're kind of debating that still. At first, Margaret said, sure, we got to go somewhere, but we got to drive probably about 4 or 5 hours, and will we be in a traffic jam? And if the New Madrid does split open, would that be a good place to be? So we're not so sure. Anyhow, just a word of caution.
Yes, and I just wanted to make it... The lunar and the solar eclipses, God uses the lunar eclipses for speaking things to Israel, his nation. They run on a lunar calendar, and just throughout the years, it's always shown to be true of what he said. And then the solar ones are for all of the Gentile nations. And so we have a solar calendar.
Solar calendar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those calendar things are really kind of mind-bending. We were just watching somebody on TV. We were watching Glenn Beck, and he was talking about Passover, and he didn't seem to realize that Passover and Easter are not the same thing or don't happen on the same date.
Some years they do, because they're very close, but not this year.
Yeah, because the Jewish calendar has every month an even 30 days, 360 days in a year. Every few years they have to add a month. Like we add a leap day, they add a leap month, so to speak, mm-hmm. to make up for all the missing days in their years. So Easter is always...
in the springtime.
Yeah. Well, okay. Both the Passover always changes date according to our calendar because the Jewish calendar just doesn't correspond. It doesn't line up. They so every not. Year it gets to be 5 days different, and after a while it gets to be way different from Easter. Meanwhile, is Easter always the same day or is it...
No.
It varies too. So mm-hmm. we don't... Why does that happen?
We didn't look that up.
But Easter must be related to something.
Yeah, well, maybe it starts because it always starts with a Lent first. So I think the Catholic Church set it up. And so we'll just have to figure out how they did
that. We just don't pay much attention to that.
Yeah.
Not being in the Catholic Church. So mm-hmm. anyhow, so even though this Glenn Beck is usually right on, I don't think he gave enough thought to the calendars and how they vary from year to year. So he was right about everything else, but got that little detail wrong. Let me just address something about prophecy and following prophets, just in closing, because we were having a little discussion kind of off the record, because I think I mentioned there were 8 blood moons since the time of Christ.
Tetrads.
Eight blood moon tetrads since mm-hmm. the time of Christ.
There's been a lot more blood.
And I only listed 7 of them. And when I looked online, the astronomical explanation was they happen about every 600 years. And that works at the beginning of my list, 162 AD to 795 AD to 1492 AD. And then all of a sudden we get them clustered much closer together later on. And the absolute truth is we don't know that every prophetic teacher teaches the truth. We know that they try, but we don't know that they don't, embellish things a bit or get distracted a bit. It's kind of like that guy on the internet who claims that the solar eclipse going through all the Ninevehs isn't true, that it only goes through 2 out of 6 Ninevehs. He's kind of technically true if it goes through a 99% of totality.
And that one's even farther.
That one isn't even a city. If it goes through only a 99%, it's not 100%, so he threw that one out.
That one too would be it.
Yeah. The idea that it goes very close but doesn't hit it right in the dot, I don't think was the point of the prophet. The prophet was saying it's interesting that the line of totality strikes a diagonal through the United States that closely conforms to all the Ninevehs, even though it might not go directly through them. They're all in the path of the solar eclipse, at least a partial eclipse. None of them, for whatever reason, none of the Ninevehs are out west. And there's no real good explanation for that. So is it just a coincidence, or did God notice the map and make something happen? Or has this been planned all along? Or does this have no significance at all? We're going to find out, because the truth of biblical prophecy is you never know if the prophet is right until the event happens. It's kind of like when we were giving our little discussion about the biblical feasts. Until Jesus came, the learned men of Israel were looking for a very different kind of Messiah. They thought their Messiah would come and he'd free them from the Romans, kick the Romans out and start a new kingdom. Mm-hmm. And instead they got a guy who was there to deliver them from sin, just to save them from the slavery of sin rather than the slavery of the Romans. So they kind of missed the whole idea. But a great many Jewish people and a great many Gentile people saw the evidence, and then they said, wow, this must be the Messiah, because it conforms to everything that was prophesied. It's just done in a slightly different way. So really, until the event happens, you don't know whether a prophet is right or not. So until April 8th happens, we just won't know whether there's something to it, or it's just one of those astronomical events. So we don't want to mislead you. We don't want to tell you this is a prediction, and we don't want to discount it as nothing, because we just don't know yet.
But we do totally believe that the Lord God has designed it so, that he has made this happen, that there's too many signs and symbols in it that correlate with his will. And so we'll just wait and we'll see, and we'll keep asking and seeking to know more and more of what he wants to tell us. But I think, as with Nineveh, for America right now, it is a repentance message, to repent and get on the right road with him. Mm-hmm. Things are happening very quickly in our nation right now.
We actually took our biblical feast series that we did in the podcast, and we're doing it live in a community center where we live. And it's been very nice, because what we're learning is that there are a lot of people who are new believers, or even have been believers for a long time, and have never really thought about some of the hidden little clues there are in Scripture. And being part of the elder generation, we've kind of learned a lot over the last few decades. So we have some information that we kind of consider ordinary that a lot of people have never heard before. And it should be a great encouragement to everybody that regardless of who you are, of who you think you are, you treasure some kind of knowledge that God's given you, and you don't even realize it's a treasure until you share it with other people. And when you share it with others, then you find out how valuable it is to them.
Yeah, we even shared it at our church and just to our little Bible study group that we meet with there. And they were amazed to find how Christ had fulfilled the Passover, being the Passover lamb and dying when they were sacrificing those Passover lambs, and how he was the feast. The next feast after it is unleavened bread. And unleavened bread means it has no yeast, which in the Bible is a symbol for sin. And so Christ is the only one on earth that has ever gone without sin. And then he was also the next feast, which was first fruits. And he was the first fruits from the dead, rising again to be with the Father. So it's very exciting to know about it and share it with others, and then have them start digging into some of the Old Testament things and see how they relate to Christ and God's plans for us.
Okay, that sounds like a good place to end up, and we'll talk with you again next week. Until then,
goodbye.
Have a great day. Have a great week. Goodbye. Okay,